You better listen and interpret and apply the word rightly and wisely, or you could abuse your children. And then you are responsible, not those who taught you, not God from His Word. You alone are responsible for misunderstanding God's Word and injuring your children. That is totally, totally wrong. You need to be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today we'll complete our 3-day journey on what the Lord has to say in His Word concerning raising our children. And before you begin, you have some cautions for us.
Yes, Dave, and as I'll share in the message, what we're going to talk about today is what the Scripture has to say about what the world calls corporal punishment or spanking. And we as believers need to be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And what do I mean by that? Well, in our current culture, some authorities might see anything related to corporal punishment or spanking as child abuse. And thus, if you do so, your child could be taken away. Parents, you need to know the laws and the current legal culture of the area in which you live. Dare you risk having your kids being taken unjustly because of where you choose to live? So if you're going to obey Scripture in relation to discipline, you're going to need to be in an area in which the legal system is not abused by those who hate Christ. And we need to listen very closely to what God's Word has to say and not misinterpret it in the context of our own flesh or wisdom. And folks, I'd just like to offer also again the little pamphlet that my wife wrote concerning training your children from the heart, with some really good examples from our experience in raising our children. So with that in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where we're going to see the third of 3 messages concerning raising our children in Christ.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We get our word pediatric, right? Okay. So it's talking about children, right? And here it's this process of tender nourishing for the purpose of training in godliness. Tender nourishing isn't an angry dad pulling out the paddle running after his kid. We're going to talk about spanking in a minute, but it's tender. It's in the context of love like God does with us. As we saw in Proverbs earlier, mothers are also responsible to teach, right? To instruct, part of this instruction, as we'll see. So now when I talk about the subject of discipline or correction of children, we need to be careful here. First of all, again, it is the father's responsibility ultimately, but the mothers and fathers work together. They work as a team, right? One flesh team to discipline children. Now, unfortunately, in the evangelical church, discipline is a matter of pragmatism or preference. You know, you prefer timeouts, we prefer spanking, you use your hand, we use a switch, whatever works. We need to go to the Word of God. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is still hope, and do not desire his death. What can we gather from this? First of all, we are to discipline our children. This is a command. And it says, do not desire his death. The implication is, first of all, there is a period of time in which there's hope. Discipline while there's hope. There's a window of time where the young heart is moldable through loving discipline in accordance with God's will and God's ways in abiding in Jesus. But that time is done while there's still hope. Train up in a child in the way he should go, even when he's older, he shall not depart from it. God has ordained a period of time in which the heart will respond. But there comes an age that they reach where, if you've not obeyed this command, it could become hopeless in that sphere. You've missed God's window for shaping the heart. Now, with all sin, God is gracious. We can confess, but there's always consequences, right? We pray for that mitigation by his grace of consequences, and we pray for that. Now, inherent in discipline is training. You know, it's not just spanking, as we'll see. But as we're going to see, there is something more than just the training, as we'll see. Again, our passage, this passage in Proverbs, I want to read again, Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son while there's hope, and do not desire his death. Wait a second, desire his death? You could say it this way. Do not set your heart on his destruction. You say, what are you talking about? What's Solomon saying here? Well, I think he's saying if you don't discipline your son, you effectively desire him to be destroyed. That's effectively what's happening. And that's what will come if he's not disciplined. Solomon says in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son. He might not have a hatred for him, but they hate him in that they love themselves more than they love their child. So they hate him respectively. So they don't do what they need to do. To hold back from using the rod is to hate your son or daughter. To discipline in love, in my opinion, we see is God's love through you. Now, why do children need discipline? And we'll talk about this. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. The word bound up is tied up. Foolishness. Foolishness is tied up. And as we train our children, they need to be chastised because of foolishness in their hearts, as we'll say. And God has ordained the rod of discipline as his method to remove foolishness. God says that. That's the method. In Proverbs, foolishness and the fool speak of the behavior of an unbeliever. Foolishness speaks of rebellion against God's ways and his word. And the way to remove it is through the rod of discipline when the heart is ready to respond or at an age that it can respond. Okay, so now I need to give the big caveat because we're going to put this over the air, you know, because the world is all messed up. At this time, we're going to look at what the scripture has to say about what the world calls corporal punishment or spanking. That's what they call it. You look it up, that's what they call it. And we believers need to be as wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. We'd be really wise about the age we live in right now and the context of the culture. Folks, in our current culture, some authorities might wrongly see anything related to corporal punishment and spanking as child abuse. It's just the way it is. There are some authorities that are like that in our country. Just be aware of that. They will see that. They will see that as that. And thus, if you do so, your children could be taken away from you. That's reality. Parents, you need to know the laws and the current legal culture in which the area in which you live. Dare you risk having your kids taken away from you wrongly and unjustly because of where you choose to live? Think about that. Are you going to obey scripture in relationship to discipline? You need to be in an area in which the legal system does not see that as abuse and is not abused by those who hate Christ. Okay? You just might need to die to self for your children's sake. Because God commands us what we're to do with our kids, and we're going to look at it. Okay? Many occasions do people move in scripture to get away from certain types of persecution. And God ordains it, and he sustains it, and he brings it forth. Secondly, you better listen and interpret and apply the word rightly and wisely, or you could abuse your children. And then you are responsible, not those who taught you, not God from his word. You alone are responsible for misunderstanding God's word and injuring your children. That is totally, totally wrong. You need to be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Okay, so now with that said, how is the foolishness of a child's heart removed? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. What is the rod? Well, the rod speaks of basically a wooden branch, a stick. That's what it speaks of. It's a piece of wood, like a rod, right? And if you turn your child around, you will see a large fleshy part well suited for a small flexible twig or such implement. Just the way God has designed it. And I would say, folks, don't use your hands. I don't see anywhere in scripture that discipline comes from the hand. I don't see that. Hug your children with your hands. Use the rod for discipline. Scripture is quite clear about the means of corrective discipline. A flexible implement, a rod, can produce a temporal sting on the bottom without any lasting pain, bruise, or injury to the child. Biblical corrective discipline is never abusive. It is temporal, redemptive. You know, I heard of some people that came and used to use a boat pedal. Are you kidding me? What's going on in your heads, folks? That's something very wrong, okay? Biblical discipline is never abusive. You should never, ever injure or hurt your child while disciplining them. Ever. That's child abuse, not discipline. Biblical discipline is never abusive. It is non-injurious. It is temporal, redemptive, and never punitive. And I have to have these qualifications because there are people who will take something and go out and abuse it and then say, well, that's what God said. that's what the pastor said. No, that's not what the pastor said. That's not what God said. You sinned and you abused your child. God's way is not injurious. It is not abusive. It is redemptive. Okay? So if you leave here in any way, shape, or form, you discipline your child in a way that they get injured or hurt, then you have completely misunderstood what God's word is saying concerning discipline, and you, not God, his or his word, or those who shared it with you, you alone are culpable for your wrong actions. So biblical discipline is never abusive, it's temporal, it's non-injurious, and redemptive. Okay. So with that in mind, as I shared before, fathers, it's ultimately your responsibility to discipline, as we see. Now, parents, it's a serious consequence for not righteously disciplining your children. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way, I think of Walmart, a child who gets his own way brings shame on his mother. Okay, that's shame. That's one consequence. But there also are eternal consequences. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 13. There's a lot of scripture on this, folks. There's a lot of scripture on it, right? Do not hold back discipline from the child. Hey, that's God saying. I'm not saying that. I'm reading it. God says it. And although you beat him with a rod, that's not meaning beating like you think of somebody beating somebody up. I beat a drum. You know, that's beating, okay? It's a term, okay? Although you beat him with a rod, he will not die. They may scream like they're dying. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. That's a soul issue. The body going to Sheol, that's physical death. The soul, that is spiritual death. His soul from Sheol. If you don't discipline your children in accordance with God's ways, you are risking their eternal destiny. Very serious. Although they may protest, it's not going to kill them to be flicked with a flexible twig on their rears. Okay? But it will begin the process of killing off their foolishness and their rebellion. And that would have led to Sheol, death, or even hell. Okay? God has ordained temporal, non-injurious pain as a physical consequence. This is a preparatory step to us to realize that we're sinful and sin brings consequences. Just as Jesus took the consequence for us, he was crushed for our iniquities on the cross. Now, again, I got to give more caveats, but you know, I can't share everything, so I just trust that you'll go to the Word and have that as your final authority, as always. Do we use the rod for every little thing? We use the rod to address rebellion. It says that foolishness is bound up in a hard child, the rod. It's for rebellion. It's for that foolish rebellion, as you see, like fools. It's basically rebellion against God. The rod addresses rebellion. It addresses the rebellious heart attitude that is revealed in rebellious behavior. You don't use the rod for every little thing. We train. We have other consequences, whatever it might be. This is for rebellion. And it pains my heart when I've seen parents disciplining for the wrong reasons. For a child maybe being a child. It's horrible. You want to exasperate and you're going to do that. When the child's not rebelling. Now, when a child doesn't do what you say after being thoroughly instructed in an age-appropriate manner, and they don't do it, and being reminded if necessary, that's rebellion. Now, what's the epitome of rebellion, by the way? When your child says to you, no. That is the epitome of rebellion. Now, I've got two of my kids here. Did I ever let you say no to us? Ever. Never. Address that. Address it. I see kids in stores, no, mommy, no, no, no. And I want to go over and say, don't you ever say that to your parents. You know, but I think, okay, you know, answer a fool according to his folly, he deserves, not according to his fault. You know, okay, so, but the reality is, that's the epitome of rebellion. When it's coming out of their mouth, no, that's the same thing as rebelling in their hearts when they're not doing it, right? So with that in mind, children need to be trained, age appropriate. You know, I've seen children be disciplined for not sitting right in church. Come on. You need to train them. You need to help them learn. Learn how to do things. They're children. That's not rebellion unless you're clearly sharing, but it's age appropriate, right? It's age appropriate. You need to be careful. Context. The peace of Christ should be ruling your heart when you're disciplining. If it's not, don't discipline. The word of Christ should be dwelling richly in you. If it's not, don't discipline. Peace ruling, word controlling. Age-appropriate context. In the context of prayer, Lord, give me wisdom on if we should use spank or not. Give me wisdom, Lord God. Help me understand. And by the way, we often did things like, you're going to get God's grace. Where sometimes they deserved a spanking. We said, you know what? We prayed about it. You're getting God's grace this time. God's a very gracious God. It's unmerited. You don't deserve this right now. Give him God's grace every once in a while, okay? But let him know. A little teaching example, right? We need to pray about everything, every situation. And when you discipline, it needs to be godly, prayerful, and it needs to be in the context of love, not irritation or anger. If you are angry, I've seen people, they get angry, you get him. There's one guy, he grabbed the child by the scruff of the back. Like, what are you doing? You know, what is happening here? That's wrong. Angry, clearly angry. You know, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So let's go to Hebrews. I read this earlier, but Hebrews chapter 12. You know, God disciplines us. There's no cosmic court saying, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's bad, right? God disciplines us because he loves us, right? He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. He said, it is for discipline you endure. That means for the results. That's why I endure, for the results. But if you are without discipline, of which you become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good. We ought to mimic that, right? We ought to be that way. He says, or that we may share in his holiness. All discipline from the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, but yet to those who have been trained by it, it is not punitive, it is training. Trained by it, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And after you have spanked, there should be restoration. There should be praying. You should have your child pray and confess to the Lord, and you're restored, you're forgiven. You know, there may be some consequences, but those will be mitigated over time. We'll work through that, right? You just want to teach your child, right? Teach your child. Again, don't exasperate them by excessive and unfair discipline. Make sure they know why, and make sure it's in the context of love and you're spirit-led. Spirit-led. It's redemptive. It's redemptive. And continue to share, you know, this is why you need Jesus. Because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. I need Jesus too. Mommy and Daddy mess up. We mess up too, and God spanks us. This is for your good. Pray with your kids afterwards. Continually share the gospel. Teach them to go to Jesus. Help me not to sin. And with obedience to the Lord in relationship to your children. And then lastly, don't drag out the discipline. Don't institute unreasonable consequences. They should be righteous and they should be redemptive. Our discipline should mirror the way God lovingly disciplines us. Okay, I could go on forever with caveats and illustrations and just go on and on and on, but back in our passage, we're not to exasperate our children, certainly by not disciplining them, right? We're to bring them up in the discipline, which I just mentioned, and the instruction of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 4. This word instruction here, instead of provoking your child to anger, Ephesians 6:4, you are to bring them up. This is what you do instead of provoking them. You bring them up. You nourish them with the discipline of the Lord. It's his discipline through you, by the way. Don't forget that. It's not your discipline. It is the discipline of the Lord and instruction of the Lord, right? This term instruction, it comes from the word nutheteo. It speaks of admonishment or encouragement. We go among our kids, we share the word of God, we say, hey, this is what God wants for you. This is the way you should be. Here's what God says here. We're sharing the word of God. We should be doing that throughout the day. Tenderly feeding and nourishing and addressing the things that need to be corrected through instruction. And then, if needed, with rebellion, what we talked about, right? You should be instructing. It is the instruction of the Lord. It is the Lord doing it through you. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. We're to be like what the Lord told his people. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. It should be a daily thing. It's not just, okay, it's devotional time. Nothing wrong with that, but that shouldn't be the only time. It should be throughout the day. Just sharing the Word of God with your kids that they might become like Jesus, that they first might be saved and they might become like Jesus. And how do we do this? Don't forget the context. You must be in Christ. The secret to the Christian life is Christ. Christ in you. Let His Word fill your heart. Choose to obey Him and be controlled by His Spirit. Set your mind to things above. Set aside sin. Put on Christ. So today we've seen the child's responsibility. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We've seen the father's responsibility. Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they might not lose heart. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up or nourish them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So as we close, I'll start with you kids. Can you think of a time that you disobeyed your parents and you haven't confessed it? Confess it. You see, and maybe some of you kids haven't come to faith in Jesus. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Lord Jesus, I've disobeyed mommy and daddy. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. Forgive me. He'll forgive you and you'll be saved. And if you are saved, now you can go to Him. Lord, help me obey mommy and daddy. You bet He'll help you. You bet He will. Now, there's some of you with grown kids, and you might recognize that you failed greatly. Now, I'm not talking about those kids when you were unsaved. I'm talking about when you were saved. You knew the Lord, and yet you didn't obey what we have read today. There's no excuse for not obeying, but there is forgiveness. Be forgiven. And I would encourage you, if you were a believer and your kids are believers, that you go to them and you say, you know, I've been convicted lately that some of the things I did when I was raising you weren't biblical. They weren't right, and I sinned, and I'm sorry, and I just want to apologize. Trust the Lord, okay? And then, for those of you who don't have kids, I hope that you've gained some insight in your relationship with the Lord. We, just like children, need to be continually nourished. We need to be fed. We're disciplined. We're loved, and we're growing in a relationship with Him. Okay, and those of you who still have children, get into the Word of God. Allow God to use that as you obey Him for your children to become like Jesus.
And Greg, after reiterating a caution you have concerning what we just heard, would you share some encouraging words for a mom or a dad who is at their end, ready to give up?
Absolutely, Dave. And I just want to remind our listeners, first of all, as I shared during the message, biblical corrective discipline is never abusive. It is temporal and redemptive. You should never, ever hurt or injure your child while disciplining. That's child abuse, not discipline. Biblical discipline is never abusive. It is non-injurious. It is temporal and redemptive. So if you leave here and in any way, shape, or form after listening to this message, and you discipline your child in any way in which they get injured or hurt, then you have completely misunderstood what God's Word has to say concerning discipline, and you, not God, His Word, or those who shared it with you, are alone culpable for your wrong actions. Again, biblical discipline is never abusive. It is temporal, non-injurious, and redemptive. Okay, well, Dave, with that in mind, for a mom or a dad who is ready to give up, I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Trust the Lord Jesus. He is faithful and He will help you. Trust Him. Now, you might have some sin you got to confess. Confess it and know that you're forgiven and step forward, move ahead, trusting in the Lord, doing what is right. You see, He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you will be praising Him and thanking Him. Pray about everything. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is so hard right now, but I trust You to help me. I trust You to give me wisdom on what to do with my child. I trust You, Lord God, and You will find that He is faithful. You see, if we lack wisdom, we're to ask in faith without doubting, and He will give you that wisdom for every circumstance, and that wisdom comes from His Word as His Spirit moves in our hearts to apply the Word for His glory and for our benefit. Well, with that in mind, we're out of time. Again, I want to offer the little book that I've mentioned that my wife wrote, Training Children from the Heart. And if that could be a blessing for you, we'd love to get that to you. Okay. Well, we want to encourage you to make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.